Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. What a tremendous blessing that was. And it's a blessing every opportunity we have to be in church. And I trust that you're looking forward to being in church tonight, even though it is somewhat of a business meeting type of a service, as we're going to be presenting to you a budget. And actually, it's going to be the same budget, but we'll be getting into that in just a little bit, not looking to take a lot of time and having to go over that with you tonight. But I still want to be able to preach a message to you that goes along with budget and the idea of the church and how God's plan has been developed and how we see it throughout the scriptures, Old Testament and into the New Testament. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Malachi, the very last book of the Old Testament, and I believe it's there and it's been positioned there for a reason. I think it's one of the last books of the Old Testament because it is preparing us to be a New Testament church and to understand just what we have in the coming of Christ through the Gospels that we have at the start of the New Testament. Malachi chapter 3, and for most this is not a strange verse. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture to you, and so I want you to stand with me though. Let's read it together. Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, we'll read down to verse 12. The Bible says, "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be no room, be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." And let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, as we do come before you tonight, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church. And God, I just pray that you would use this service to speak to each one that's here and encourage them and strengthen them. Pray that you would anoint the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look to Malachi, and Malachi was a prophet to the children of God, this is after they come out of captivity. There was much that they were to learn in captivity, and now God has allowed them to go out of captivity. And he has the prophet Malachi is addressing them concerning how they are to get back into the type of worship that God wants them to have and to restore the worship of God. And part of that will be the idea of finding the tabernacle and the storehouse and bringing the tithes of that God has blessed the people with into the church, if you will, or the place that they're going to meet with God, the house of God. Now, practically, even though Malachi is addressing the sins of Israel, but prophetically, he was addressing the New Testament church. And again, we find that right after this, so then we get into the Gospels and we get into the Acts, the transitional period between the Old Testament, New Testament, and then all the different letters of Paul to the churches and on and on and on. And so prophetically, he was addressing the New Testament church. Now, we know this, especially in chapter 3. In chapter 3 and verse 1, we find it starts out with the prophecy concerning John the Baptist. In chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And so we know that to be the prophecy of John the Baptist being the forerunner coming before the Lord Jesus Christ establishes his church. And then in chapter 3 again, then it goes into the prophecy concerning addressing Israel at that present time, but also God having the prophecy concerning the New Testament church. I believe this is, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 to 12, is a message for his church. If you look at verse 8, he says, "Will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And he presents this idea of tithes and offerings, two different ways of giving to God, the tithe and the offering. And then if you look down to verse 10, I want you to see verse 10 again. He says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that storehouse that ye may there may be meat in mine house." And so he's connecting what he's talking about, the storehouse, with the house of God. And so the storehouse would represent the house of God, which would be the New Testament church. Look over with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. You have to understand these things. You have to know it in order to be able to have faith in doing it the way God says to do it. And if you have faith in God and knowing that I am doing what God would have me to do, then you can know that you have you've done what God's asked you to do, so then you can claim the promise of God. This is a conditional promise of God when he says, "Prove me and to see how I can bless you. See that I can't see if I will not open the windows of heaven to be able to take care of your need, and I can do things in your life." Well, that's a promise, but if you don't meet the qualification for the promise, you can't claim the promise. And so I have to know this is God's will for my life, and I am fulfilling the qualifications. And if you're fulfilling the qualification, then you can claim the promise. Amen. So many areas in the Bible where he gives us conditional promises. If the Bible says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you," then you can ask what you want. But it has to be, in order for you to claim that, you have to make sure that God's word is abiding in you, and you're abiding in that, and you're living as God would have you live, because that will change your desires and it will change your prayer life as far as what you're praying for. And so we go on to this. If you look in 1 Timothy chapter 3 with me, 1 Timothy in chapter 3, and as Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, he gives them the qualifications for the New Testament church, the qualifications for the pastor, the qualifications of the deacons. And then if you look down to verse 15, I want you to see this. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." The very same house that Malachi was referring to as a storehouse, which God says, "It's mine house." He says here, in the house of God, which is the church. So the church, the Malachi is actually prophesying, and he's prophesying to the people. And at that time, it would have been a storehouse, and it would have been associated with the house of God. And that very same truth and that biblical principle that was established there is carried on into the New Testament. These biblical principles don't change, okay? But it's carried on into the New Testament because God knew that the Old Testament was preparing for the coming of Jesus Christ, that he might establish the church, which he would reveal to be the house of God. Amen. So everybody's following along with me here. So he says right there, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is," no doubt about it, "the church of the living God." It's the pillar and the ground of truth. And for some 2,000 years now, it's been the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been the pillar and the ground to be able to continue to bring the truth to humanity, the truth to the world. It's been the pillar to the world concerning God. And so we find here the storehouse would represent, no doubt about it, the New Testament church. The church, the New Testament church, is made up of born-again believers. As Jesus said, "I will establish my church." And he would go on to do that by reaching the lost and having them follow him. And if you look over to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, I want you to see this. Every believer needs to know why I tithe. Every believer needs to know why I give offerings. And if you know that and you're meeting the qualifications of the promise, you can claim the promise that God has given to us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, it says this, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." And the body is Christ, which also refers to is the church. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Okay, so he's talking about the many different members, individuals that will make up the body. And here we find he's talking about the local New Testament body, which is the church. And if you drop down, if you will, verse 18, he says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in every local New Testament church around the world. God is very much aware of every congregation. He's very much aware of every member in every New Testament church. Because it says that he's the one, once you have received him as your Savior, and he's planted the Holy Spirit of God in you, which you're sealed until the day of redemption, then he takes you, everyone, and he puts them in the body as it pleaseth him. Can I tell you, if you're a member of this Lighthouse Baptist Church, you're here because your presence in this place is pleasing to God. And God has orchestrated the circumstances of your life, and God has orchestrated the things that you didn't even realize that he was working in your life to bring you to this place. And today, no matter how long you've been here in this at the part of this church, there's some that's charter members have been here for going on 31 years. Amen. But 31 years ago, God knew what he was doing when he planted the first membership and then the second year membership and the third year membership all the way through the 31 years. God has been very much aware of every individual that was saved that he brought and planted into this church. That's what he says right there. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, which is the church, as it hath pleased him. Amen. That means the only reason for you to be here is that God planted you here. The only reason anybody ought to leave this church is God planting them somewhere else. Amen. He's got to uproot you, amen, to be able to plant you somewhere else. There's purpose and there's reasons. We can see those things when that's taking place in our lives. But every member God has chosen to plant you here, we make up this local New Testament church. And every other New Testament church that Jesus is the head of that local New Testament body, not only here, but in this city, in this state, in this United States of America, and around the world, can I tell you, God is very much aware of every member. That's powerful stuff. So God blesses the members of each church so that they can give to keep the storehouse strong. You know, one of the reasons that you have the job that you have and you have the income that you have is that God blessed you with that. Amen. So that it would be a way of blessing his church. If Malachi is true, and he is, the prophecy is here is true, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? I want you to bring them in. And I'm not very happy with you if you're not doing that, because you're robbing me. Because I'm the one that have blessed you and prepared that for you, and I have a purpose for that. That purpose is that tithe is mine, and that offering is something that we're going to see in just a minute, is what we give above the tithe as God has blessed us. But across the board, no matter how you have, what you have been blessed with, everyone owes it to God to give the tenth or the tithe. It is God's, and God is very much concerned about that, because it shows God's ownership of your life. Whether you make $1 million a year or you make $100 a year, God doesn't, it's not the amount that is what's pleasing to God first and foremost. It is the percentage of what you make that God says is mine. That's how you can please God. And so he says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. God says, this is my plan. I am going to bless you individually, and I'm going to plant you where I want you to be planted. And as I bless you individually and every other member of that local New Testament church, And as they acknowledge my blessings upon their life, and everybody does what God tells them to do and bring in the tithe to the storehouse, can I tell you, then the storehouse or the church will be strong. Amen. That's what it meant by there may be meat. Maybe strong. It can accomplish what God has that storehouse or that local New Testament body, that church, to accomplish. God did not establish bake sales to promote and to be able to take care of the church. He did not establish a government that they would be able to provide for the church. God has established a membership of born-again believers that he will bless, that if they do what he says to do, he can even continue to bless them even more so that his church would be strong. Wow. So, God blesses the members of each church, of his churches, so that they can give to keep the storehouse strong. That's a powerful truth that every believer needs to be aware of. Because if you're blinded to that, you will not be giving as God would have you to give. And if you're not giving as God would have you to give, he makes it very clear you're robbing God. Don't expect God to bless somebody that's stealing from him. If you're going to, if you got extra money or you have extra time or you have extra resources and you want to bless somebody, how many is going to look to somebody that just broke into my house and stole everything I have, took without asking? Acted as if it was theirs. I don't think there'd be one person. You look for that person that will receive the blessing and be thankful. Receive the blessing and acknowledge, amen, where it came from. God very clearly presents to us his plan for his church. Yeah. Tithe and offerings. Okay? It's God's plan. So go back to Genesis in chapter 28. God's plan in the Old Testament was to establish his children, which would be called Israel. The one who was called Israel to start with was who? Jacob. Jacob, known as Jacob. But then when God was calling him, and as God dealt with him, and he wrestled with God, all the things that went on in Jacob's life, God said, you are going to be called Israel. And where did God establish for his children to tithe? And what amount did God establish for his children to acknowledge him with? Genesis chapter 28. In verse 22, I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 28. Let me get over there myself. Chapter 28, verse 22. Jacob, after he vowed a vow to God, and this is what he said, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's what? And that's what he said about in Malachi, storehouse being God's house. Is that what he not said in the New Testament, as God's house being the church? Shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee, give the tenth unto thee. So when God established the nation of Israel, God established through the one that he would call Israel, Jacob, that he would lead the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, into making sure that they acknowledge God with the tithe. And it would be 10% of their increase. Now, if you go to the book of Proverbs in chapter 3, Proverbs in chapter 3, not only do we need to understand this, we need to be able to help others that are blinded to it to know where to go in the scriptures to teach these truths. In Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 9 and 10, as we give a tenth, that is the tithe, no doubt about it, it is associated with the tithe of God. As we give that tithe, That is how we honor God. Show respect unto God. Acknowledges God's ownership of my life. That's what a person who tithes does. You acknowledge, I'm not my own. And I am not a self-made man. I am not a self-made woman. I'm a child of God's, and God has blessed me with whatever abilities. God has blessed me with whatever health. God has blessed me with whatever special spiritual gifts that I have. So he enables me that I might be able to work for him in whatever it might be and acknowledge him through my giving of the tithe. And so the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. All thine increase, whatever that increase is, that's where Jacob said, who would be Israel, I will give you a tenth of that. That's a vow that I make, and he didn't make that just off the top of his head. No doubt it was the Holy Spirit of God that was moving him to write what he wrote, and it was moving him to say what he said. It was God establishing the tithe for his people. 10%. Established by Jacob as the tithe, it's how we honor the Lord. The offering. If the tithe is 10%, then an offering is not the same. Can I tell you, Aaron, do you remember that $20 I loaned you last week? Okay, if I did, and you owed me $20, before you paid that $20, could you offer me an offering? Could you give me something? No. Why? Because he might say, I want to offer you $10. And I say, well, that'd be nice, but it would be better if you paid me what you owe me. Now, after you paid me what you owe me, and then you want to say, you're such a blessing to me as my pastor, I want to give you an extra $10, and praise the Lord for that. That is an offering. But an offering does not make up a tithe. Amen. And so an offering is what Paul talks about in chapters 8 and 9 of the book of 2 Corinthians. If you look there with me, too often people look at that and say, well, this is how we are to determine how much we give God, based on what we have and based on what we want to give and on and on and on. Listen to me. You base that on the passage of Scripture found in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8 and 9, and that is not talking about the tithe. That's talking about the offerings. And offerings, if you will, is to support missions outside the church, mainly. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, that's exactly what Paul is presenting to them as missions giving. And in missions giving, giving of tithes is not giving to missions. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, and we could read both chapters completely, but just to help you to see it, in chapter 8 and verse 12, it says this, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to the man hath, and not according to that he hath not. What I give is going to be dependent upon what I have. God's not looking to say, I'm a respecter of persons. I like you more because you can give more than him. That is not God. God is no respecter of persons. Whatever a person gives is not what is going to impress God, who created all things. You can't impress God with the gold and silver of this world. You can't do it. But you can impress God with your heart. The 10% is across the board. That's just cut and dry. There's no bartering with God concerning that. I've heard somebody say, well, preacher, that's why I only come one service a week, because if I only come to one service a week, I only have to pay a third of my tithe. Mentality that people have. You never know. A lot of times people will not come to church because they don't want to tithe. And so I only have to tithe is when I go to church. The mentality, that, listen to me, that is not what God says. You have to make sure that your thinking aligns itself with God's thinking and what God says He means. And many times the reason why we have not is because we have not aligned our thinking with God's thinking, and we do not qualify for the promises of God. Exactly right. So we find here, he says, first of all, tithe is across the board. Okay, it's 10%. But now when it comes to offerings, you might be able to give $100,000 a year to missions. Praise the Lord for those who can do that. But can I tell you, the only reason you're able to do that is because God has blessed you. And God has blessed you probably because He knows that you'll give. That's right. He will. But that's not going to impress God as any more than somebody can only give a dollar to missions. If it's that's all they have to give above the tithe. Because you see, go down to look at verse 9 with me. Chapter 9, verse 7. And all this, 8 and 9, both of them, great verses, but it has to do with offerings. In chapter 9 and verse 7, it says this, "Every man, according as he purposed in his heart." You don't determine your own purpose of heart when it comes to the amount of tithe. No, that's just, are you going to be in God's will or out of God's will? You're going to do what God says or not. That's the tithe. But when it comes to offerings, then that's something that you look at what you have and you pray to God and say, God, direct my heart and what I'm able to do above the tithe. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And it's got to be according to what God has given to you, because as I give that, and if I know it's what God would have me to give, I can give cheerfully, knowing that as I have done what God has told me to do, then I am a recipient of His promise. When He says, prove me. It's in the heart. A heart established is not, well, I'm going to try this out for a week or two and see if it works. That's not in your heart. That's tempting God. In your heart, you say, God is real. His word is true. And if it's what He tells me to do, I have faith to believe if I do what God tells me to do, He will fulfill His promise. Isn't that good? Once I learned that, I've never missed one tithe. I've never been without giving above my tithe as an offering. Never. And you can tell I've never missed a meal. We've never been out in the cold. We've always had enough. We've not always had all that we might have wanted, but we've always had enough. Amen for that. Because I didn't ask every week, Lord, you want me to tithe this week? Like, I don't think my kids ever asked me, Dad, do we have to go to church today? It was an automatic. It was something that was established. Didn't even give it a second thought. It just established, this is God's will. And we have already committed to doing things God's way. And if once you commit to that and you make a vow to do that, you don't have to question that every week. You just do it. It becomes part of our lives. And when it becomes part of your life, it becomes who you are, then you'll experience what God wants you to experience. And God taking care of His children. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, concerning the tithe and the offering, we find here in chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, he even tells us how to give of it. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I had given order to the churches, that's for the churches of the church age. That's for Lighthouse Baptist Church. And even so do ye, for every church is to do it this way until the church age comes to an end. Upon the first day of the week. What day is that? It's Sunday. That's right. It's not Saturday. It's Sunday. It's Resurrection Day. It's the first day of the week. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store as God hath prospered him, as God has blessed you, and now you're looking to give back. You're looking to give God the tithe. You're looking to give God the offering above the tithe, as God would have us to give of tithes and offerings. And let there be no gathering when I come. Well, I'm going to wait and see what the preacher preaches on. If I like it, I'll give it. If not, I'm not going to give that tithe. That's not honoring God. Amen. That's right. No, give it every time, every week. Don't even think about it. Amen. Don't question it. It just becomes who we are. You're going to have a lot more peace when you just commit to doing God's way, doing it the way God tells us to do that, which takes us back to Malachi. Verse 10, 11. He says, now bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. It's how I've established to keep the church strong. Can I tell you, praise the Lord, this church has been strong. For 31 years, it's been strong. And it's been a blessing to see how we are debt-free, been debt-free for a long, long time. It's just a blessing to see that. And prove me. Not by your giving, but what you've established in your heart. What you've established in your heart is part of life and what God's will is for my life. Prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Windows we might not even know exist. God says, I can open it. And pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer. Sometimes this is worth more than what we can even imagine. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. See, we must keep the storehouse strong, for we have much yet to do. See, we're still living in the church age, which we have been given the Great Commission. Keeping this church strong and giving of tithes and offerings keeps this church strong, and the giving of offerings keeps the missions work going around the world. Every one of those mission letters, read those. You have a part in that if you're giving to missions. The offerings is what allow us to support the missionaries and the missions projects that are impacting our world for the cause of Christ, because that's what God commissioned us to do. And Jesus telling the church, the believers who make up the church, you are the light of the world. It's a testimony of a biblical church that causes whatever conviction that might be in the world and living ungodly. Because the light is getting dimmer, because the believers are not standing where they need to stand, that's why the darkness is getting stronger and more darker than it's ever been in the United States of America, possibly. We need to get that light a little brighter. Brighter the light, the less the darkness. Amen? The less light, the more darkness. Yeah. Church needs to be strong to have a bright light. Have a bright light. And then Jude says, contending for the faith. There's no one in the world, no other group that is going to contend for what Jesus taught like his church. We're battling a lot of things right now that are anti-Christ. And we need to keep the storehouse all around this great United States of America strong so that we can battle and contend for the faith. Yeah. How do we do that? God's plan. Praise the Lord for God's plan. Let's pray, and then I want to present to you the budget tonight. As every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe God spoke to you and you need to make a decision tonight. I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision, whether it's in your pew or if you need to bring it to the altar, we want to invite you to come. Very seldom do we have a musical invitation on Wednesday night, but we always have an opportunity to give an invitation. If you need to come for whatever reason, it might be a good time just to commit to doing things God's way. Maybe God spoke to you about being all in. Just make it who you are. God's wanting you to do that. Maybe tonight you just make that vow. Commit that to the Lord. Anyone else? And Father, we do love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Thank you for helping us to understand why we give tithes and why we give offerings. And God, the blessings that are associated with that, we thank you for that. Thank you for the church, and I pray that you'd help each one of us to want to make the storehouse and keep the storehouse as strong as it possibly can be. Now bless as we go into this business meeting and understand the budget to be approved. In Jesus' name we pray.